Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Patel Retail Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all on the conference call of Patel Retail Limited for Q2 and H1 FY26. From the management team, we have Mr. Dhananjay Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Patel, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Manish Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Hitesh Salwani, Assistant Vice President, Accounts and Finance. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Rahul sir for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to Patel Retail Limited's first investor conference call after our successful listing on the NSE and BSE in August 2025. On behalf of the entire management team, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all our shareholders, investors, and partners for their continued trust and support in our journey. The past few months have been an exciting period for Patel Retail as we continue to strengthen our business fundamentals, expand our footprint, and build on the strong foundation laid over three decades of operation. This being our first post-listing interaction, I would like to begin by sharing a brief overview of who we are and the direction we are heading towards. Patel Retail Limited is a value-driven retail and FMCG company, integrated, covering retail, manufacturing, and exports. Starting with a single grocery outlet in 1990, we have today evolved into one of the most trusted neighborhood supermarket chains in the Mumbai metropolitan region, operating 47 stores across Thane and Raigad with over 2.03 lakh sq ft of retail space. Our cluster-based expansion model ensures strong local market dominance, supply chain efficiency, and cost control. We serve India's growing lower middle, and aspiring upper middle-class consumers with a wide range of groceries, staples, FMCG, and general merchandise products. Our business operates through two synergistic segments, retail and online. The retail division contributes nearly half of our total revenues, while the non-retail segment, which includes processing, manufacturing, and export, drives margin stability. We have vertically integrated facilities across Maharashtra and Gujarat, including Ahmedabad and Kutch, with a combined installed capacity of over 1.43 lakh metric tons per annum. These units handle a broad portfolio of pulses, spices, flours, peanuts, sesame, and mango pulp. This integration not only strengthens our supply reliability but also supports our private label and export businesses. Our in-house brand, Patel Fresh, Indian Tasca, Blue Nation, and Patel Essentials, continue to gain strong traction and presently contribute around 17% of retail revenue, which we aim to increase to over 25% in the medium term. The second quarter was marked by solid operational progress across both business segments. We opened our 46th store in Kalyan, further strengthening our presence in the fast-growing suburban cluster of Mumbai. On the export front, we secured new international orders worth 22 crores, taking our total export order book to around 50 crores. These orders span markets such as the U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, reflecting growing global confidence in our quality and brand reputation. Our distribution center at Ambernath continued to support efficient last-mile delivery through a robust hub-and-spoke logistics network, ensuring smooth replenishment across all stores. The Patel Ahmed mobile app also continued to gain traction, driving higher repeat purchases and enhancing our omnichannel retail presence. Now, turning to the financial performance of the quarter and half-year ending September 2025, we had a very strong second quarter in fiscal year 2026. Our total income grew 14.97% year-on-year to rupees 225.43 crores. We significantly improved our profitability with EBITDA climbing 31.37% year-on-year to 19.55 crores, bringing our EBITDA margin to 8.67%, an increase of 108 basis points. Our PAT showed exceptional growth, surging 73.20% year-on-year to 10.14 crores, and our PAT increased percent by 151 basis point to 4.50%. This excellent quarter resulted in an EPS of 3.59, reflecting a 49.58% growth. For the first half of FY26, we successfully maintained our growth trajectory. Our total income for the half year reached 408.63 crores, marking an 8.97% year-on-year increase. We grew our EBITDA by 18.60% to 35.43 crores, achieving an EBITDA margin of 8.67%, shows an improvement of 70 BPS. Our PAT for H1 increased by 42.52% year-on-year to 17.06 crores, with PAT percent improving by 98 BPS to 4.18%. Overall, our EPS for the first half of the year was 6.42, representing a solid 30.75% growth. This results underline a steady growth trajectory and the benefits of our integrated business model. Looking ahead, we remain focused on expanding our retail presence beyond Thane and Raigarh into western MMR suburbs and Pune, followed by entry into cities across Maharashtra and western India. We plan to increase our store count to 60 plus by financial year 27, supported by disciplined cluster-based expansion. At the same time, we will continue to enhance capacity utilization across our Ambernath and Crutch processing units and invest in automation to improve productivity and cost efficiency. We are also prioritizing the growth of private labels, digital engagement and exports to drive margin improvements and build long-term brand equity. This initiative, together with prudent financial management and a strong operational framework, position Patel Retail for a sustainable and profitable growth in the country. In closing, I would like to thank our entire team for the dedication and our customers for their continued trust in Patel brand. Our vision is to make Patel Retail a leading regional value retail chain with national aspirations combining affordability, accessibility and trust. With a solid business model, experienced management team and clear strategic roadmap, we are confident of maintaining our growth momentum and delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. Thank you for joining us today. And now we look forward to addressing your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Aditi Roy from Patel Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, Aditi, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question is, your retail footprint has gone to 47 stores with zero closures since inception. So I just want to understand, what are the key operating parameters you monitor before approving a new location, and how do you maintain such a high success rate?
Thank you for the question, Aditi. So we have a very rigorous model when we identify a store. So it starts with catchment and market analysis. So that's basically evaluating the population and identifying the income profile and the buying behavior of the consumers who will be serving. And the second part, we have always been a neighborhood supermarket. So prioritizing our location is very important for us. And then the biggest concern in any retail business is to reduce the fixed cost, right? So our financial viability plays a very important role. We make sure our per square feet cost is as low as it gets. It should range anywhere between 10 to 12 rupees per square feet. And to cater all of this, we have it should sit besides our cluster-based. We operate in a cluster-based model, so we make sure it's within 60 to 100 kilometers of our facility, of our from where we do the supply chain. That's basically a process that we follow before we finalize any location, any store.
Okay, sir. And sir, I have one another question. Given
Yes.
the cluster-based model, 60 to 100 kilometer radius, how do you assess saturation for it, and what is the
Sorry.
ideal store? Yeah, and given the cluster-based model, 60 to 100 kilometer radius, and how do you assess saturation for a specific cluster? And what is the ideal store density per cluster for optimal operating leverage?
So the cluster-based model, so 60 to 100 kilometers is where from there. I just didn't understand your question.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just want to understand. Your cluster-based model is around a 60 to 100 kilometer radius, right?
Right.
So how do you assess saturation for a specific cluster? And what is the ideal store density per cluster for optimal operating leverage?
Ideal store density in what terms, and saturation in what terms, ma'am?
Ma'am, the thing is, our distribution center is situated in Ambernath. So if you see now, as of now, all our stores are situated in those related areas like Kalyan, Ulhasnagar, Ambernath, Badlapur, so and so forth, which the farthest store is around 62 kilometers from us. Okay? So currently, our DC has a capability to, we can open more five stores. So once that is saturated, we will look for setting up a new distribution center at some place where we want to grow, like Mira Road, Bhayandar, etc.
Okay, sir. Got it.
Yeah.
And so, average store payback is around 2 years. And what factor differentiate stores with sub 18 months payback versus stores that take longer?
Ma'am, can you please repeat again once?
Sir, our average store payback is around 2 years. Yes, ma'am,
Yeah.
I'm using that only. Our average store payback is around 2 years. Correct, sir?
Yeah.
So what factors differentiate stores with a sub 18-month payback versus stores that take longer time?
Ma'am, for a new store, basically our investment is around, just a second.
So our investment is around 1500 per square foot for the construction cost and 2000 per square foot for the inventory.
Okay, sir. And so, what is your KPI framework for store managers? Means, revenue versus store and what is your conversion rate, shrinkage, payroll cost, or something else?
Ma'am, for the store in the first year, we expect around 80 lakhs per month income. So for a full year, it would be around 9 crore 60 lakhs.
Okay.
And our EBITDA is around 5%. Okay? So in that way, our payback period comes to around 2 years.
Okay, sir. Got it. And so, how much of store labor is full-time versus contract? And how sensitive is store-level profitability to wage inflation?
Sir, ma'am, in our stores, average employees are around 20. Okay? Out of that, four are on payroll and the rest are on contract basis.
Okay, sir.
And what was your other part?
How sensitive is store-level profitability to wage inflation?
Ma'am, profitability for each store is important. We constantly monitor on month-to-month basis how a store is performing. And with respect to inflation, ma'am, as this is commodities that we purchase and manufacture, the MRP keeps on changing to cater the risk of inflation.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ishita Sen from Urban Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Ishita, hi. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity. So, like, what is the long-term aspiration for Patel Retail regional leadership and the expansion or a hybrid domestic plus global FMCG model?
Hi, Nishita. As a Patel Retail, we have a very clear base, right? Do one thing and do one thing very properly. So even moving forward, food is where our focus is going to be. And to increase our bandwidth, obviously we are going to open 10 to 15 stores per year. We have already started our export expansion. We are trying to get more clients on board within the premium countries, that's UK, Canada. And in terms of processing, we have already launched our brand Indian Chaska for the blended spices. Moving forward, we plan on expanding it to the pan-India level and to add more SKUs in the similar range of blended spices, ready-to-eat, and all of those things.
Okay. So, like, yeah. What proportion of future revenue mix, like retail versus non-retail, would represent the ideal structural balance for stable margins?
It would anywhere range between, let's say, it would either be 45, 55, 50, 50, because we plan on growing both at the same pace, right? So at any given point, our contribution will always be 45, 55 in those terms.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you envision the company's identity evolving, the value retail chain or FMCG manufacturer, export house or an omni-channel platform?
There was a crack in your voice. Can you please repeat the question?
It's getting muffled.
Am I audible?
Question, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So yes. How do you envision the company's identity evolving, the value retail chain, FMCG manufacturer, export house or an omni-channel platform?
Right. So we believe in providing values to our customer, right? Whatever investment they are doing, we try to give them as much value as we can, right? In those. So even moving forward, we want to known as a value-driven entity, right? Be it in the field of export, where we or retail or be it our own private labels. That's where we aim for, to always give our consumers value for their money.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would like to be identified as value driven.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Neti from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So just wanted to clarify on the store economics that you mentioned. So you mentioned the capex per square feet is around 1500, while the inventory per square feet is close to 2000 rupees, right?
Yes.
Right. And what would be the average store sizes for us?
Currently, the average store size comes around 5500 to 6000. Moving forward, the average store size will grow because now all the new stores that we are opening, we are looking at around 6,000 to 7,500 square feet area.
Right. Got it. And so the 5% margin you mentioned, that would be after paying rent, right? Yeah, so that includes the rent expenditure. I mean, rent expenditure has been taken care of in the 5%.
Yes.
Got it. So my second question is, can you break up the margin differential between, say, the retail business and the non-retail business? Because there are two or three verticals that would come under the non-retail business. So if you could give some more color on what sort of margins you make in, say, non-retail, domestic, in exports, et cetera, so that would be really helpful.
So for the last financial year, that is fiscal year 25, okay, out of our total PAT of 25.27 crores, okay, our retail made a PAT of 9.5 crores, and the remaining is from the non-retail sector.
Got it. Got it. And sir, in terms of retail presence, we largely want to restrict ourselves to Maharashtra only, or are we looking to expand beyond Maharashtra?
So, as I said earlier, because our distribution center as of now is in Maharashtra, especially in Thane, we are acquiring, like opening stores in our nearby areas. But now we are planning to go beyond this, and we are targeting Tier 3 cities such as Mira Road, Bhayandar, et cetera. Okay, we have opened one store after the first quarter in Palghar, and we are also planning, like we have identified some places in Pune. So we'll be going out of Maharashtra, we'll be going to Pune. As of now, that is the plan. Yeah.
Right. And sir, what do you think is the potential? You know, I know you mentioned 60 stores by 2027, but what is the potential that a state like Maharashtra can house? You know, how many stores can we sort of imagine ourselves opening in entire Maharashtra?
Actually, I would say there is no limit per se, but if you see, like, for an example, in a city like Kalyan, we have 7 stores. Okay? So it is, for us to open a store, it is a mixture of two things: the population there and the rent for which we can acquire the store. So based on that, but the potential is there. Still, majority of the public prefers, you know, to go to a nearby store and get quality products.
Got it. And so my last question, since you mentioned, rent is a very crucial element, so for us, what would be typically rent as a percentage of sales for currently, as a percentage of retail sales?
3%.
3%.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. That's it from us, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Take our next question from the line of Abhishek Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
My first question is, what percentage of revenue comes from the RMart app today, and what is the 3-year target for digital contribution?
Just a second, okay? Just a second.
Hello?
Yeah, just a second. Just a second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So currently, for this half year, our retail sales as a percentage of total sales was 50%. Okay? And moving forward, also, because we are growing both the sectors, it will be around 50%-55%.
Okay. And how much of app demand is fulfilled through click and collect versus home delivery?
Sir, when you say click and collect means, can you just explain what do you mean by click and collect? All the people that all the customers that come to our stores, okay, they have two options. They can buy the product and take it with them, or they can opt for a facility wherein we deliver the products to them at their home free of cost. So as of now, I would say around 55%-60% of the customers opt for that home delivery facility.
Okay. And so my last question is, do you plan to introduce instant delivery, quick commerce via dark stores, or will you scale through the current retail store model?
Okay. So, sir, currently we have a mobile application wherein orders are placed online, and we deliver the goods the next day. We use our stores as a network and dark stores also. So we are in a process of upgrading our user interface of our applications, wherein we are planning to deliver the goods first within the same day, and then we'll try to
start reducing the time.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubhanu from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir,
are you on your handset mode right now?
Is this right now? Hello.
Little better. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, can you tell me around 50% revenue come from non-retail? How much revenue, out of the non-retail revenue, how much revenue come from export and how much revenue come from manufacturing?
Sir, for the first half year, it is around 50% domestic and 50% export.
Domestic means manufacturing?
No, out of our non-retail sales, okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, manufacturing sales. 50% of the products are sold in domestic market and 50% are exported around.
Sorry, sir. Around 50% come from domestic and 50% come from...
Hello. Hello, sir. Can you clarify me again?
Sir, let me explain you. Our sale of products was 400 crores. Our operating revenue was 4 crores. So our revenue from operations comes to 404 crores. Okay. Out of that, our retail sales is all domestic, which is 200 crores. Okay. Remaining our non-retail sales is 199 crores. Okay.
Good. Then so how much comes from? Sorry, continue.
Yeah, you were saying something. Tell me.
Out of this non-retail sale, how much come from export and how much come from manufacturing?
Okay. Sir, export or domestic it will be, no? We manufacture and some of the products we trade. So bifurcation will be of total non-retail sales into domestic and export.
Okay. Understood.
Okay. So we also export our manufactured goods. We also sell it in domestic market. If that is the question you have, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. My second question is, if I look our 3 years trend, our non-retail revenue mix continue going down. But you are guiding around our non-retail and retail mix will be 45-50% or 50-55%. But
moving forward,
going forward. Both segment margin are similar, segment margin are higher.
Sir, the margin for the non-retail business is more than the retail business. Because the retail business has more of third-party products as well.
I know that, but our last 3 years trend showing that our non-retail segment continuously going down.
Sir, so if you see, in the fiscal year 23, the sale was 741 crores, okay? And it has gone down to 513 crores. The main reason was, at that point of time, we were exporting sugar. So that was a trade-based business. So in the fiscal 23, we exported around 350 crores of sugar, which was after there was a limitation by the Government of India on export of sugar. It was nil in the following years. So that is the main reason you see. But if you see our non-retail business will go up now.
Okay.
So we have shifted our focus from training activity and more towards the manufacturing activity.
Okay, understood. My last question is, key initiative we are taking for the quick commerce reach for business?
Sir, your voice is cracking. Can you again repeat that?
Okay. My course, I asking this. What are the key initiatives we are taking for de-risking quick commerce competition?
So, as I said in the earlier question, that we are upgrading our app, okay, wherein as of now we are delivering it the next day. So, we are trying to deliver it the same day, okay. And if you see the trend, people that buy from quick commerce are those products like we are not focused. We are mainly focused on foods. Okay. we are updating our apps even like in the last year, there was a quick commerce company named Pincode who used to use our dark store as their business model. The order comes to us and we delivered it. So we are doing our best in that regard to get more quick commerce companies on board and also to upgrade our user interface so that we can deliver the goods in reduced time.
Okay. Sir, another question I have. Sir, can you tell me out of the non-retail much revenue from private label, sir?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. So out of our non-retail, so
the sales our, are private.
Hello. Our non-retail sales is around 200 crores for the first half year. Out of that, 103 crores comes from private labels. And remaining 96 crores come from non-branded products. So the ratio is around 52% of private.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prashant Shah from Eastock Mantra. Please go ahead. Yes, Prashant.
Hello.
Please use your handset mode.
Yes. So thank you for the opportunity.
I'm on audio.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, yes.
So my first question is, your margin expansion looks attractive, but your top vendor controls a large proportion of procurement. So what guarantees that these vendors would claw back your pricing power once you scale up?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
Your margins look attractive, okay? But your
yes.
top vendors
yes.
control a large proportion of procurement. So,
right.
what guarantees that the vendors won't claw back your pricing power once you scale up?
Right. So we have very clear terms of trade with the every brand we work with. Besides that, when it comes to vendor, we have a very rigorous purchasing department which makes sure that no shelves are being kept empty. And besides that, for the operational efficiency in our terms of trade, few of the products are directly delivered to our stores and few of them goes from our warehouses. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what percentage of current margin gains are reversible if your top five vendors increase pricing by let's say 2 to 3%?
Sorry, sir. Can you just repeat that?
I will repeat my question. So, what percentage of current margin gains are reversible if your top five vendors increase pricing power even by 2 to 3%?
Okay. So, sir, if you see, we buy a lot of raw materials. Our raw materials mainly consist of food products, like agricultural products,
okay.
and we directly procure them from farmers. Okay, based on the crop from APMC markets and from Food Corporation of India. Okay, so
okay.
there are always options to go to another vendor in case of the pricing.
Okay, okay. And have you run any stress test on vendor concentration?
Sorry, sir, I am not able to understand you.
You know, like how long it would take to switch any critical categories without losing shelf availability? Any stress test have you taken?
So when we procure our goods, so we keep on maintaining every shipment that the vendor has done to us with a, so we also have a in-house lab which has every possible equipment required in terms of chemistry or let's say biology of the components. So we do testing of each and every raw material and we have data for the same. So those who have a consistent bad records of providing wrong goods or let's say false quality than he promised, that's when we take up the call that we need to change the vendor right now. I hope that was the question.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And my next question is your same store sales growth improvements, coincide with usually volatile inventory days. So
how do you know the sales uptake isn't being manufactured through aggressive discounting or, you know, forward stocking at store level rather than genuine consumer pulls?
Yes. So in our DC, we try to maintain an SKU where we in accordance to the demand focus that we run on our IT systems. So we have the data month on month, day on day, on which our purchase team works, and we make sure we have that kind of stock within our warehouses so that there is adequate supply of every item that I am moving.
Just to add to that, our ERP systems for the store and the DC are integrated, so there is a minimum balance quantity we have set. So once the stock level reaches there, so the order, store procurement order is directly comes in the system and it is delivered there.
Okay. And FP normalized for discount intensity, SKU level stock rotations, and discount intensity and SKU levels stock rotation. What's your true sales store sale growth without any tactical pushes?
I think it ranges anywhere between 6 to 8%.
Sorry?
6 to 8%. Same store growth, right?
Oh. Right.
Yeah, so 6 to 8%.
6 to 8%. And has any category shown negative SSG growth despite higher inventory allocation?
It is a seasonal to seasonal variance, right? I mean, in every season, there's a different category that gets up a boost, right? So it would be very difficult if you talk on a yearly basis which category has seen such kind of growth. Obviously, there has been growth in the consumer behavior where the people have been shifting more towards a health conscious product, right? So that's the category which is gaining a lot of traction right now. But besides that, everything is a necessity, right? We are a value-driven model, so we try to provide everything. And it's a seasonal thing. So every category shows us a growth in that particular season that they have. So for an example, we saw a good growth in FMCG healthcare during Diwali season, right? There was a significant growth of about 4 to 5% that we saw in the sales from usual. Yeah.
Okay. So currently that's it from my side. If I have any further questions, I will get back into the queue. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Sakshi Shinde from Shah Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question is, what percentage of procurement is centralized versus store level, and how has this evolved with the scale?
Right. We don't have a solid number for the same as of now because few of the supplies we get directly from the companies, few of them is from the distribution center. So it also depends on the lot of location of our stores, that whether those and the feasibility and the costing of our products. So whether the same product is to be delivered to our warehouse or to our stores, right? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, ma'am, just to add to that, majorly we work on a hub and spoke model. So everything comes to the DC, and then only the perishable goods like dairy, okay, those are delivered directly to the stores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. My next question is, how do you negotiate long-term contracts with the key vendors to manage the price volatility in staples and spices?
For the most part, it's quarter on quarter where we negotiate the terms of trade, right? Because we also don't want to lose on the opportunity, right? If the market is moving, so as there's a rising competition and the new brands are entering the market, we don't do yearly contracts, but we keep on checking on the average percentage that we should get in every category, and we work on the same with every brand. Trying to get as much as we can, and that happens at a frequency. It can happen at a frequency of let's say monthly or quarterly, like that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for answering.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aniket Madhwani from Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm audible?
No, please use your handset mode. Your audio is not very clear.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted a clarification on the export revenue. So do you mean 50% of non-retail revenue means 25% of total revenue from sharing the export business?
Sorry? Hello. Hello. Yes. Can you please repeat the question? I am sorry. Sorry. Hello.
Yeah. So my question was, so as you mentioned, 50% of non-retail business comes from the export business side. So can we consider that the total export business contributes around 25% of the total revenue in this half?
Just a second, sir. I'll give you the figure. Just a second, okay?
Yeah, could you just give me the revenue bifurcation for this half?
Just a second. Sir, I would, around 30% of the total revenue is export business and 50% of the non-retail business.
30% contributes around. Okay. So, as I can see here that in FY25 also, the export business contributed around 33%, right? So,
yeah, 33% of total revenue.
Yeah, so there is no significant increase in the export business, and you mentioned that you are focusing more on the export business. Can you please give the guidance? So, looking forward, I mean, apart from the 50 crore export order, how much revenue will be closing from export business in the FY26? Yeah, I just gave the second one.
Export Hello. Business?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. You said export?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I just want the clarification on the thing that is mentioned that you are more focused on the export business, right? So second thing, there is no significant increase from FY25 numbers and this regarding the export business. So I just want the clarification on that.
Right. Firstly, we are equally focused on export and domestic business. Right now, there is no significant growth due to the geopolitical situation and due to the increased time, right? So we have, and are mainly all of our exports in the country of UK, US and Canada, right? All of those countries, it takes around 45 to 60 days of transit, right? So our focus is equally like earlier we were a heavy export business, but right now we are diluting our focus more towards domestic as well, right? So that's what our plan is.
Okay. And what margins can we expect from both segments? I mean, the domestic and the export business. I mean, the retail and non-retail.
I mean, it ranges anywhere between 8 to 10% in export and domestic both, right?
So blended margin will be around 10%. You mean that, right?
8 to 10% anywhere between
8 to 10%. And okay. And can you please give the guidance what top line you will be closing in FY26 with this? 8 to 10% margins.
We plan on growing at the at anywhere between 15 to 20%. So that's what we aim for to close FY26 from FY25. If you take that and calculate that, somewhere around 1,000 is what we aim for. 1,040.
Okay, and 8 to 10% at the operating level, right?
Sorry?
8 to 10% margins at the operating level.
Yeah. for our export business, yeah. For a manufacturing and business, yeah. It's going to be
yeah, should I consider it the blended margins, right? 8 to 10% will be the blended margin.
Blended margins with retail, you mean?
Yeah, with retail.
So anywhere between 5 to 8, right? So because it averages so, out, right?
Sir, our EBITDA margin would be around 7.5 to 8%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And our PAT margin would be around 4 to 4.5% for the fiscal 26.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. And my question was with regard to the as you mentioned that 50% of the customers opt for the home delivery, right? 50 to 60%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, are they? I mean, should I consider the orders coming from the app, which you?
So, sir, we have three. The customer can physically come into the store, buy the products, and leave it at the counter. So, for us to deliver, they can also use the WhatsApp facility, wherein they put the order on WhatsApp. Okay, and then we deliver it to them.
And the third one is our mobile application through which we deliver as well.
So currently, how much percentage is the revenue comes from the mobile application? I just wanted to know about that.
Just a second, sir. From mobile, around 3.5% of our retail sales is our sale from mobile online business. Yeah.
Fine, thank you. That's it,
thank you. Take our next question from the line of Shubhanu from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, one clarification question. You said around crore revenue come from export, like coming from export in H1 FY26.
How much?
Around 120 crore.
Yes.
Okay. Our FY26 revenue guidance around 15 to 20%.
Sir, can you repeat that, please?
Our FY26 revenue growth guidance around 15 to 20%.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhanji Patel for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Namaste. Aaj ka call mein shamil hone ke liye hamare prati aapko bharosa ke liye khub khub dhanyawad. Aur hum ummeed karte hain ki wapas next half year mein hum judenge. Thank you. Dhanyawad.
Yes, thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Patel Retail Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at dhanji@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.